sir. How are you this morning?
I'm here.
Okay. Mr. Seuss, we just stand by on the line. We have some other people that we have on the line. I want to make sure everybody's connected, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Zucker? Is it Zucker or Tucker?
Ms. Tucker.
Ms. Tucker. It's Tucker with a T.
Okay,
thanks.
All right, Ms. Tucker. Ms. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Banks?
Bonds.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Mr. Swoops, you're on the line?
Yes.
Okay, the Honorable Luis Quinones will be acting as the lead for your hearing, so he'll be the one conducting your hearing. You'll be hearing from him next, okay?
What's that name?
The Honorable Luis Quinones.
Luis Quinones, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay, Mr. Swoops?
Yes.
Before we get started, I just want to make sure that we handle this correctly as far as you having legal representation. Ms. Tucker on the telephone?
Yes.
Will you be speaking before he speaks when we get into the hearing, or will he be speaking for himself and then you speaking at the end, or do you have a format?
Well, is this Commissioner Quinones?
Yes, this is. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
Terrific, thanks. Well, we didn't have a formal plan in terms of who would speak when, but generally it will be Mr. Swoops speaking, and then I was hoping I could just interject as necessary, if necessary, but I won't be making a formal presentation to lead off the hearing, although I'm happy to do so, but I think that Mr. Swoops is
going to take a lead. You will have a chance to speak on his behalf. We just wanted to make sure that there was an order that we didn't move past anyone. So I'm going to go ahead and start the hearing formally. And again, this is a telephonic hearing. We do have one supporter, I believe, in the room. We have three individuals on the telephone, but we have a telephonic hearing with Mr. Swoops. So, good morning, Mr. Swoops.
Good morning.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Samuel Wayne Swoops, 54240.
Thank you, sir. And you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31-412A parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. Of course, you cannot see us, but in the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and again, my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Again, we also have some supporters on the telephone, and I believe your daughter, Ms. Grace Weston?
Weston.
Sorry, I read it wrong. But your daughter is in the room, and we'll be able to hear from her later.
Excuse me, sir, I hate to interrupt.
No, go ahead, sir.
You are buffering real bad.
Okay.
So if I'm delayed in any kind of way, it's not because of me.
Okay. Let me try to adjust my...
It's not that buffering the name. It's probably delayed when he's standing.
Okay. Let me begin by saying again, can you hear me clearly right now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I will begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Samuel Swoops, ADC number 054240, is 63 years old. He was certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for a 31-412A regular parole absolute discharge of home arrest. The crime of sexual assault occurred on or about January 23, 1984. He was approximately 29 years old at the time of the incident offense. And I say approximately because I did the math based on dates of birth and the way that the event was captured by the pre-sentence report. He was found guilty by jury trial on February 25th, 1986, and sentenced on March 19, 1986. He will be parole eligible effective July 10, 2018. This is to say that we're having the hearing today, but his actual parole eligibility is next, oh, pardon me, I say next month, but in a few weeks, in July.
Yes.
The incident offense was part and parcel of a 9-count prison sentence, which included armed robbery, burglary in the first degree, aggravated robbery, and kidnapping. And this is the final consecutive sentence. He has a sentence end date, at least according to Ames, of a firm sentence end date of July 19, 2019, which is just a little more than a year away. It should be noted that on June 17, 1985, Mr. Swoops was also sentenced separately, to 5 years for aggravated robbery and a concurrent term of 7 years for kidnapping. I will read a detailed summary of the offense in question. This is taken from the pre-sentence report, but I think it's concise. On January 23, 1984, at about 9:30 p.m., three victims, a husband, wife, and family friend, were in the living room of the couple's residence located in the 1100 block of North Arizona Avenue in Tucson, when three males forced their way in through the rear door. The first individual was found with an arm with a handgun, and the other two wore bandanas over their faces. The victims were forced to lie on the floor and covered with blankets while they were threatened with death. Money, jewelry, narcotics, and valuables were demanded. This was occurring. The armed intruder poked the handgun at the head of the victims and caught the hammer back and forth while threatening with death. The intruders ransacked the house and also forced the guest to give them his money. They took jewelry from the female victim. One of the individuals also took this victim into the bedroom of the residence, covered her eyes with a pillow case, and forced a sexual act on him. Shortly after this happened, the intruders fled from the residence, followed by the male victims, who were able to see them drive off. Police were notified by neighbors who heard the victim scream. During the trial of Mr. Swoops in May of 1985 for another offense, one of the male victims identified Mr. Swoops as the armed intruder. He was later identified by the female victim in a physical lineup. Mr. Swoops was subsequently charged with 3 counts of armed robbery, burglary, sexual assault, and kidnapping. And again, that is a summary of the offense. According to Mr. Swoops' institutional progress report, and Mr. Swoops, so far, is this sounding clear to you?
Yes, I hear you.
Thank you. According to Mr. Swoops' institutional progress report, he has had moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections, including the sex offender treatment program and completing his GED. He has submitted a letter with a release plan that includes release to his daughter's house, working in maintenance, and seeking VA benefits as a former member of the military. He's had considerable discipline in ADC from 1986 through 2015, but his last major was on July 10, 2000, close to 18 years ago, with disrespect, and very few of his infractions were major violations. This appears to be his 10th hearing before the board, but certainly the most recent he's had in a while. He has no letters of support in his parole packet, but he does have his attorney two supporters on the telephone and his daughter in the hearing room. Okay, Mr. Swoops, this is your first time before this board, and I say this board because the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency has a turnover every 5 years or so. There are new members, and I do not believe, and let me look real quick, just for the sake of the integrity of this hearing. Just 1 second, sir. I do not believe that you have been before this board since 2003, and that was for to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence. So, again, this is your first time before this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you please tell us in your own words about the offense that resulted in your incarceration, and we will have a discussion. So,
Commissioner, to the board, this is Lee Tucker, the attorney.
Yes.
And I apologize to interrupt. Mr. Swoops has an ongoing appeal in this matter, which is perhaps startling given the length of time that has passed since then, but we do have an active case, and it is my advice to him not to discuss the charges of conviction, although I realize that is a significant part of the board's concern. I know it's not by any means the only concern. There are a great deal of other issues regarding his suitability for release and his plan, et cetera, but I do advise him not to discuss the charges.
Well, can I ask some questions, ma'am? And it's not to get into anything that will cause problems in the criminal justice system?
Absolutely.
Well, one question is just in context and to respect his rights as well as his due process in this hearing. Is this a scenario where Mr. Swoops is saying that he was wrongly convicted and has been innocent for the entire time that he's been in the correction system?
We are not, and the issue of actual innocence has not been one of the bases for his appeal.
Okay.
It's due to flaws in the process during his trial.
Understood. And I think it's important, again, I'm speaking as one board member, but I am the panel lead for this hearing, but I think it's safe to say that this board is very sensitive to cases in which there are ongoing appeals. So again, we'll respect that.
I appreciate it.
As I stated, we'll respect his due process for this hearing. So if we start to stray, it's not intentional. So if you want to step in at any given moment, if we're going into territory that you're protecting for a future appeal, please just let us know, okay, ma'am?
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Okay, Mr. Swoops, you heard what I asked. There was a follow-up from your attorney. So you try to be careful about the event.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you. I can't keep every once in a while buffers. But in the interim, you know, I don't know how long you've been in the criminal justice system. But however long, this case has been going on over 30 years, three decades. You know, it's obviously something wrong with this case. You don't get a case that stays in court this long. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Well, not completely. And let me qualify this, Mr. Swoops. Certainly there are people who are convicted and do their entire prison sentence, and oftentimes those are 25 to 30 year prison sentences. So I'm not here to make a determination as to what is appropriate in terms of your sentencing, because that's a separate part of the criminal justice system. I cannot say that it is abnormal that someone does 25 to 30 years in the criminal justice system or in corrections. What I will say is that I do recognize that there are cases that are appealed for a very long time, A, and B, every now and then, tragic though it may be, there are certainly people who are wrongly convicted. I recognize that. So what we are here to consider today is whether or not this board will vote to grant you regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. So I recognize that that there are strong emotions associated with an individual that's been in the correction system for this long, but as your attorney stated, you're going through an appeal, and that's a separate part of the criminal justice system.
And so,
yes,
here's Lee Tucker again, and I appreciate the opportunity. It is an unusual case, even, and I know the board, all the board members are very familiar with different ways in which there can arise problems. But I did want to make sure the board is aware that Mr. Swoops was previously granted a new trial based on the flaws in his first trial, and that was subsequently overruled on procedural issues. And so it is an ongoing case that there was a previous recognition of fundamental flaws in the procedure. And so I do advise Mr. Swoops not to talk about any allegations associated with the term. That's my advice, obviously, it's up to him. And, make the questions that you need to make, and I guess we can take it just bit by bit.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much. What I'm going to do, Mr. Stoops. We're going to get into the corrections process. We're going to discuss rehabilitation. And frankly, where you arrived after these years in the correction system. Again, as I stated during the summary, you've had programming inside the Department of Corrections. I also want to commend you for writing a very good letter to this board. Not only did you give us a detailed, at least a somewhat detailed plan, but it was pretty clear and succinct. I appreciate that. It looks like that you did receive your GED when you were inside the correction system, sir?
Yes.
And
I did.
I think you also mentioned that you gained some trade skills since you've been inside prison.
Yes, sir. Yes, I took several. One was a plumbing certificate that I gave, and a food prep course. But I've worked in maintenance since I've been in prison most of the time, and I've been a painter for the last 9 months. And I really, even before, if you knew me before, when I got arrested, I was on the job, and I've always had a job. I always worked, and that's no different than how I've worked since I've been in here.
Now, I mentioned that you had a history of discipline inside the Department of Corrections. It would seem that most of your, what would be considered major infractions, and to your credit, you've had a lot of minors, but it doesn't look like you had too many majors. I think early in your incarceration?
Yes, when I first came down, I understand it was abysmal. It was out there. But since, as you can see, I mean, it's hard to avoid a disciplinary write-up in here, because you don't know who you're going to meet that day. Somebody that had a bad night, they come in, and any little thing that they feel that you've done wrong, and they're not going right. They don't care about anybody else's day. You know, and it just, that's the way it is in here. I don't know. You have never experienced this. This is a... I mean, this is different than what you would ever experience on the street.
Let me ask you, just out of curiosity, you've been in the system for some time now. Has it improved at all for you over the years?
Well, Well,
the conditions, I mean, sir, pardon me.
The conditions?
Yes, sir.
Well, where I'm at now in this private prison, it's a different tone. Because it's not like DOC when you was in DOC. They have a different attitude, for lack of a better word. You know, so yes, I guess it has.
Yeah, no. I'm just making a quick review here. I'm going to jump around a bit. It looks like that you were a veteran. Did you serve the Marine Corps?
Yes, sir.
What years did you serve?
It cut you off. What did you say?
What years did you serve the Marine Corps?
From 71 to 75.
And did you leave the military under honorable conditions?
Yes.
What did you do in the Marine Corps?
Well, I was a gunner, a driver, and, supplies.
Sorry, this is Lee Tucker again. I don't know if you would get to this, or Mr. Swoops would volunteer it, but he served honorably, and also he was disabled while he was in the service. I don't know if you wanted to mention that at all, Sam.
Well, certainly it's a good question we would have glued it back to, and thank you for adding that. Mr. Swoops, are you still... Not well, obviously you have a disability, but have you been able to work with your disability in these years inside the correction system?
Yes, I have. I worked because I persevere in the face of adversity. So, yeah, I'm basically in pain every day, but I worked through that. You know, and because I don't want nobody trying to say feeling sorry for me. But, you know, I move forward despite my disabilities.
Well, so this is a tough question I'm going to ask, especially if you have an ongoing appeal. According to the pre-sentence report, you're described as a very angry person. When you were arrested, and over the years since you've been inside the Department of Corrections, can you tell us how you've changed as a person?
Well, like I just told you, in the face of adversity, I grow. You have to adapt to whatever situation it is, and that is what I do. What you're going through, you just have to build on it, you know, and move forward. Which I think I've done pretty well. I mean, like I told you, here is nothing you will ever experience if you don't come here. This is a different story than real life.
Let me ask you a question. I can't tell you how this board is going to vote today because we vote independently. We have four voting board members today. We operate under the open meeting laws of Arizona. These hearings are in the open. We don't discuss the cases before we come into the hearing room. But if this board voted to release you on home arrest or regular parole, how do you think, and again, we have a sentence end date of July 19, 2019, but how do you think that you'd be able to get get along or adhere with a parole officer under supervision for a year? How do you think that would be for you?
Well, I was hoping that to transition from this, that I would want to be on this parole, because a parole officer has a ear for this and for, you know, transitioning back to the street. And I need that to ask, I might need a question that I need answered. My family might not be able to answer that question when a parole officer would. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, sir. And the reason why I ask this is, the board's going to vote individually because each of the board members are independent. But there are individuals that, when given the opportunity to transition by, say, home arrest, they struggle with it because I think it's easy to forget that there's still... And we're careful about the use of this word because we want to show you respect, but that people struggle that they're still an inmate of the Department of Corrections even though they're outside of the prison system. And that's why I ask you that question, because I think it sounds easier said than done, and I'm only saying this by watching the process, but it's very strict. There are strict rules, there's restrictions in movement. And so I'm trying to get a feel for how you can handle this should this board return you to the community by labor and parole or home arrest.
Well, I got a great support system. My family, I mean, I've been here 33 years. My family still hangs with me. So I'm not out to fear them or myself. And I think forward. And you gotta think, this has taught me so much that it makes you think before you act or react to something. So yeah, you don't know me, so I try to explain myself, but you know I can only tell you what I can do and show you what I can do.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Swoops. I'm going to ask my fellow board members at this point of the hearing if they have any fellow questions. Pardon me. My fellow board members, if they have any questions for you. Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Ms. Tucker, excuse me. Ms. Tucker?
Yes?
Okay, I want to bring some information that we do have a letter that was written by Mr. Swoops is dated May 31st. I don't believe there's a date.
16th.
A letter that he wrote to the board.
May 16th.
Wednesday, May 16th, 2018, that has some information in it. So I want to go over that information, but instead of going over it, I'm just going to read some of the statements in there. I don't know if you're aware of this letter, Ms. Tucker, or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I am. Actually, and the reason I'm here telephonically is because I'm in Kansas for a work matter.
Okay.
But I did just receive a copy of that letter yesterday and was able to review it. So, yes, I'm familiar with it. Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Swoops? Mr. Swoops, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So, sir, I reviewed the letter that you wrote to the board dated May 16th, which in that letter stated that you were a mental health man when this happened. You made bad choices. You ran into the wrong side.
I can't. I can't hear you. You keep buffering.
Okay, let me try again. In that letter, you stated that you were a much younger man, that you made some bad choices, and you ran with the wrong crowd, and you very much regret mistakes made in your life, and you're truly sorry for those hurt as a result of your actions. Did you hear what I just said?
Right.
Okay. It also has...
Yes,
it also has in here, sir... So,
excuse me?
It also has in here... what your accomplishments have been since you've been incarcerated, that you did obtain your GED since you've been incarcerated. Is that right? Mr. Schultz?
Yes. I can't hear you. I'm serious. It just keeps breaking up.
It is, and it is a little tricky for me to hear you as well. I'm not sure if it just, it's a little perhaps breaking up, but also much softer on your end.
Okay. I'm going to try to read that a little bit louder, Mr.
Okay.
Okay, is this any better, Mr. Schultz?
No, but I kind of hear what you're saying. And really, you know, you're saying,
Mr. Schultz,
I am, yes.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, sir, in the letter, it also talks about your release plan. It talks about that you did receive your DED since you've been incarcerated. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It also says that you completed several programs with Central Arizona College, and you earned a certificate for alcohol and substance abuse.
Yes.
So, in the pre-sentence report, I think it says that you ended in an automobile accident while you were in the military?
Yes.
Okay. When you get disabilities from the VA before you got incarcerated, were you receiving disabilities? Because it also says you want to get your disabilities reinstated.
Well, they only pay you a percentage while you're in here.
Okay.
Incarcerated.
Before you were incarcerated, were you receiving disabilities from the VA?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Sir, I heard some of what you were saying, but I wanted to comment on that.
Okay. Go ahead. Let me ask you. Let me ask you.
You were saying. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Oh, you were commenting on about I was saying that I'm regretful for the people that I hurt. Well, listen to me, and I hope you understand this. That woman that sat across the desk from you, she was 7 months old when I came in here. And she has never, ever been out of my life for the 33 years that I've been in here. And I am completely sorry that I left her in such a way. And that's what you reading out of this letter is what I'm explaining to you.
Okay, so I think...
I just wanted to hope you understand that.
I think you clarified that, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
And it also says that you have a support system here with your daughter, your sons, and their mother, and close friends. How many sons do you have, sir?
I didn't hear you.
How many sons do you have?
Yep. How many what?
How many sons do you have?
I have 3 sons that I claim with my child.
Okay.
And I got a son in North Carolina, and
I think that maybe you've answered the question. I don't know if there was more to that. Commissioner Johnson?
No, I was reading and said that his daughter and he had some sons. So I was asking about his sons who would be part of his support system.
Well, okay. The two sons that I speak of are here in Arizona. They're my stepsons.
Okay.
That has never even come up as an issue. They're my kids because they were babies when I came here. And like I say, they still support me to this day.
Okay. Mr. Sousa, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Do you have any finances saved up right now?
Do I have any what?
Finance. Money saved right now on the books.
Yes. I have enough where if need be, I can get my own place.
Okay. So another reason I'm asking that is that the Department of Correction requires that if this board goes to put you on home arrest, that you have a certain amount of funds that can sustain you for a short period when you first get released. So that is the reason why I was asking if you had any current funds saved up, sir.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And according to your release plan, you want to stay with your daughter that you were released on home arrest?
Yeah, if possible, yes.
Okay.
But that's only temporary.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but that's my daughter. She got her rules and I prefer to be on my own, but if necessary, I would be with her until I could get my own place, which I'd probably get my own place within days after I'm released.
Okay. Some of that's going to be up to your PO if you get on home arrest, so as to where you could actually stay or whether you could be on your own immediately after you get released. You're going to have to work with your PO if you get on arrest. So also, I want to commend you because I think you did write a good release plan of what you plan on doing and what you're doing, what you've done within the last 2 years to prepare to get released back into society. So that's going to be it for me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, fellow board members.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Board Chairman.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. As has already been stated several times, so the board is just trying to get to know you better, and so it's in that light that I'm just going to ask a few questions. And like the rest of the board, I want to commend you for the progress that you've made over the years. And if we go back to the early part of your life, take note if I read and heard it correct, you were in the military, the Marine Corps, and you left the Marine Corps in 1975. Am I correct, sir?
Yes.
And the offense, the instant offense that resulted in your being incarcerated took place in 1984. Am I correct, sir?
I think that's right.
And my question is, what were you doing during that period between 75 and 84? You were out, and you were out of the Marine Corps. Of course, you had been injured in the military, but what were you actually doing from 75 to 84, sir?
I worked for Lufkin Rule and several other companies that I work with. I didn't detail my employment history. I didn't know I would have to.
You don't have to. It's just time to become better acquainted with you before we vote. No, you don't have to detail it at all. why did you, I believe that you, based on information that I've seen, you were born in the state of Alabama, so how did you end up out in Arizona, sir?
My family was here. My aunt and my sister and her husband was here, and they asked me to come out here. And but since they which was my baby sister, she passed, and my aunt has passed, and her husband, my brother-in-law, he moved to Louisiana. And, that's basically the reason I came, because they asked me to come out here.
Okay. And after you came out here, that's when you went into the Marine Corps, am I correct? You was already in Arizona when you joined the military, am I correct, sir?
No. I was in Alabama when I was in the Marine Corps. I was 17. My mother signed for me to go in the Marine Corps so that I could go in the Marine Corps.
Well, we commend you for serving this nation in the Marine Corps, and we're sorry that you had the accident while you were in the Marine Corps. Why do you?
Thank you.
In your own words, and not even relates to the offense itself, but what do you think, in your own words, not what nobody else said, not what I would say, not what anybody else would say, but in your own words, why do you think that this board, or in this case, why do you think why should I vote to release you, sir? Just in your words, not what I want to hear, not what anybody else want to hear. Well, why should you be released, sir?
I've done what I've asked to do, and I did this time. It ain't like I've been down here 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. I've been in here 3 decades and 3 years. You know, and as you see what's before you, I've changed significantly. As one of the board members said, it seemed like I was an angry person when I came in, with a reason. Yes, I was. But that's when I was a young man. That young man has been gone a long time. I've been in twice of what my life has was. And more. I wasn't even 30 when I came to the penitentiary. And I've been in over half my life. I truly want to contribute to my family what I have left. I don't know what that may be, but I want to dedicate the rest of what I got left to my family.
Okay, sir, I really appreciate that. Just a couple more quick questions, and if I'm going in the wrong direction, you and our attorney can pull me back. I do take note that recently, I guess it was in 2017, you did take some program in dealing with sexual offenses. Did you complete that program, sir?
I don't know what they did, but I think it was determined that I really didn't need it because I only got charged with a sex offense because they say I was there when this happened, not me.
Right, and that's one thing. I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Lee Tucker again. and the board is probably aware of this, but the charge of sexual assault was, that conviction was through an accomplice theory. There was never any allegation that he was involved or even in the room or even aware of what was happening.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, both of you, for clarifying that. I just saw that as being one of the programs that he had been involved in. That's the only reason I raised that particular question. And the next question I'd like to raise, and again, this one may be sensitive to, back to what one of the board members stated earlier, I believe Mr. Kawanis stated earlier, according to the pre-sentence report, at the time of the offense itself, you were an angry person. Have you gotten rid of that anger now that you've been incarcerated for some 33 years, sir, or are you still an angry individual, sir?
That person is gone a long time ago, if that answers your question.
Anything happened with that person to disappear a long time ago? I mean, did anything happen in your life, or it just was a period of time you just was able to rid yourself of the anger, sir? Extracurricular activities such as church or any organization or anything that you could participate while you're incarcerated? Do you do anything like that? And the only reason I ask church is because I do take note that in the original information provided by the Department of Correction, you were listed as being a Protestant at that time. And I was just wondering if there's anything that, you know, that you've been involved in since you've been incarcerated, sir.
Yes, I have. I not to say I'm devout, because I'm not cured, you know, but I love Jesus, you know, and I always have, and I always will. Is that good enough?
Yes, sir, that's good enough, and thank you so very much, sir, and thank you for being so responsive. Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Kawanis.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Neal, yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. This is more curiosity, but while you were in the Marines, when you first went in, Vietnam was still going on. Did you get deployed to Vietnam, sir?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And that doesn't make marks against you in my book. It's curiosity. I guess you're getting more than 10% of your disability while you're incarcerated, some small amount.
Yes.
Of course, I don't know what your degree of disability is, but since you are considered disabled and qualify for disability payments, you'd be able to receive a whole lot of services from the VA hospital, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They my daughter coordinated with the coordinator at the hospital, and he told her that all I got to do is once released, just come there. They're gonna set me up with a job and a place if need be.
Okay, that's good. They're despite all the bad publicity, VA hospital is here is, once you get down below the head of the snake, the people are very good. I've had yeah, dealings with different parts of VA here, and I've yet to run into these problems that some unfortunate veterans have run into. But again, thank you for your service and things. That's a rough road to talk to. Thank you, sir.
And you're very welcome.
Okay, I think at this point we don't have any more questions, at least for now, from fellow board members. Mr. Swoops, we're going to open it up to your supporters, and I think I will begin with your attorney, if she has anything that she wants to add right now, and then I will turn it over to whoever else is supporting you on the telephone, and the last person to speak will be your daughter who's in the room. Ms. Tucker, do you have anything that you'd like to say at this point?
Well, thank you, Chairman, and thank you, all of you. I'll just be very, very brief. I think you've covered a great deal of really important ground. And just to summarize, as Mr. Swoop said, he's been in prison over 30 years, and as you've all noted, during that time, he's maintained a very good record, and the disciplinary problems he had initially are far in the past, and he hasn't had any infractions in over a decade, from what I can tell. And as Chairman, as you mentioned at the beginning, the infraction marked as major, which was for disrespect, was 18 years ago. He's been working the whole time, and he has a phenomenal plan and a phenomenal level of family support. I've spoken several times with his daughter, Ms. Weston, and I think he's in really great shape, both in terms of his mindset, his emotional and mental preparation, and with the support he has from family and the VA to be very successful on parole. And I'll stop there, but thank you, and you know, if any questions occur to anyone, I'm happy to answer them, but I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Again, we've been wrangling here with the public address system, so we want to make sure that our questions are clear. But I do have one question, and I have a pretty good grasp of the criminal justice system. I'm not an attorney, but I'm a pretty good generalist. And I just have a question. It's a kind of a learning point for me as a board member, and that is if this board grants home arrest or regular parole, does his appeal process continue?
Yes, it would continue. Even if he were released, it continues on because of the effect of the conviction extend beyond the issue of confinement.
I appreciate that. I just wanted to...
Thank you for the question.
Get a way of understanding of that. Our next individual on the phone, I believe, give me 1 second, because we have some slip sheets here for people supporting. We may have... Ms. Dorothy Howell. Ms. Howell on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
If you can state your whole name for the record, because this is recorded.
Dorothy Howell.
And what would you like to share with the board today now?
Yes, I would. Samuel is the father of my children, 2 stepsons and a daughter. And I just want to say we're still here to support him in full, any needs that he may need or run into. I think we have great credentials to get him the necessary help outside in today's society. I think he's come a long ways. There will be places that he can work. The VA, to my understanding, is very involved and will be willing to assist in anything that we may not be able to accommodate, but as far as housing, support, the love, accountability, we're here for him. We're here for him in full, and we truly support him in any needs and issues that he may incur once coming out into society that he feels that he may not be able to do alone. So I just want the court to know we've been here all 30 years. We're going to maintain and still be here for Sam. And we're just asking the parole board to find it deep in their hearts to give him a chance to show just who he really is. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you for such a clear statement. I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to ask the parole board if there's any questions for you.
Is that Mr. Bob's on the line?
Any questions for Ms. Howell? Okay, we're going to also move on to our last person on the telephone, Mr. Barnes. Pardon me. I don't have an associate in front of me. Is it Mr. Barnes, sir?
Yes, sir.
If you can state your whole name for the record.
Dante Maurice Barnes.
And Mr. Barnes, what would you like to share with the board today?
My mom took the words right out of my mouth. I am very involved in outdoors, you know, sports and fishing. So, again, my mom took the words out of my mouth. That is all I really have to add. So, I couldn't really say any better than what she did.
Well, thank you for appearing before the board. I have to admit, I have a love of fishing too. just for a little bit of interaction here, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Bonds, thank you for appearing for the board today, and now I'm going to log over to the last individual who will be speaking for the board today, and that's Ms. Graves Weston.
Yes.
If you could come up to the podium. And if you could state your name, microphone is on. Is it real?
Yes.
Okay, and if you could state your full name.
My name is Grace Lynette Weston.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
I would just like to share with the board that I am here to sign on as my father's support person. I am his daughter. This sentence is about as old as I. I actually am quite grateful for this sentence. I have grown up around a lot of brokenness, and this sentence has given me the opportunity to know my father in a way that I really haven't seen across my family. So today I can say that I am an accomplished person. This sentence has kept me in line. I today am a three-time college graduate. I work in the healthcare system, and I am more than willing to be helping my father to navigate the system. I hold three professional licenses. The first one is a nursing assistant license, occupational therapy assistant license, and I am also just previously a licensed massage therapist. So I have been working in the healing context of the healthcare system. I enjoy it and am more than willing and happy to be of service to my family, my father, as he comes. I also have extensive work that I have done with the VA system. I've worked with several VA members to rehabilitate them with disabilities, whatever it may be. I usually work in a rehabilitation setting, and I'm just ecstatic to be here. I appreciate all of you for taking the time out of your day to hear this case from my father, and just trust that you all will make the correct judgment.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to thank you for your service. That's an outstanding background.
Thank you.
I do want to begin with just a few practical questions.
Sure.
And that is, again, if this board wants to grant an arrest or regular parole, do you have an address that you could provide to the board for the administrative process of making that transition?
Most definitely. The address, I believe, may be on file. In my father's plan that he wrote out, it may be in there, but I'd be more than willing to give you that.
I don't see an address.
I didn't see one added, and I just know that it's a strict consideration by the DOC about having a place for transition. That would also be true if you were to gain acceptance into a halfway house. But if you don't control that, I'm just trying to get ahead of some of the administrative issues, if that's an issue.
I do know that the VA has stated that he has full VA benefit, so any matters as far as housing, anything that could possibly come up with him, the VA has just said that if there's nowhere else to go, bring him here. We have a program set up. They have a 90-day program that they can put him into that will help him with housing, any form of food, shelter, clothing, anything that he needs, the VA is willing to come forth with. I as well will open up my house to him. I own the home, my address. Did you want me to state that now?
No, I think we'll address that when it comes time to vote. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to get ahead of this. We're all in the room. Individually, people may be looking at this case through different filters, if you will. But it is important to know these things so that we can make effective decisions. We've certainly ran into situations where the board was voting one way or the other. We didn't have complete information, so it was still a problem for the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, sir. This one also, you may not want to ask until after we vote, but if he's released, especially on home arrest, and he was in your place of residence would be the place where he would be residing initially. Do you have enough room in your residence for him and so that he can have his privacy?
Yes.
And my guess is if you...
I have three children and my husband.
Okay. And that's, where is that? That's up in Kingman? Where is that?
No, we are in Tucson.
Oh, you're in Tucson. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, this is the last thing I want to say is this too. I'm not sure what's been decided with the Department of Corrections. Again, regardless of four votes, I just know that ultimately they will approve residents in transition. So again, I won't mean to suggest that that's exactly the way things would turn out. We just want to know what options are out there before we, so that we can make an informed vote.
Yes.
Thank you.
And either way, I am happy to support him in that. I think that some supports coming out would be a great opportunity for him. If the VA system is offering him extensive help, and I have worked with the VA, so I know that there are counseling services available, job readiness services available, and I'll be there to help him navigate that. If possible, I also work in that system.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to thank you for approving for the board, and I got to tell you before you even spoke, I was just guessing. I thought this is going to be an outstanding person. I could just sense it. So I do appreciate your service to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're getting close to the end of our hearing. Mr. Sluice, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Again, we're getting close to the end of the hearing. So is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? And I'll also say if there's anything final that you would like your attorney to state, now's a good time to do that. We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. Is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know?
Well, basically, we've covered it all, but I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Swoops, and Ms. Tucker, is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, thank you. Not for me, and I add my thanks to the board for your time and your thoughtful questions. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion now, especially because this is a telephonic interview. It may sound like I'm speaking to you directly, Mr. Swoops, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself. From the open meeting laws of Arizona, you are reminded that we do not discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room. So if you'll just remain on the phone, you can listen to our deliberation, and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, Chief Hughes. The board is now in discussion. For the board members, I think this should be an interesting deliberation. And I'm looking at it, I think it, for me, doing this for me as an individual board member, that sometimes I think it's important for me to go back to the basics, and that is that we consider public safety, the concerns of the victims, as well as the rights of the inmate. I recognize that Mr. Swoops has been in the Department of Corrections for well over 30 years. I won't forget that regardless of what the facts of the case are, because I recognize that there's an ongoing appeal, that certainly there were victims, and as a board member, as I've said many times, I have to look at the case that's in front of me at face value. So I'm looking at this as a case where there's an individual that was convicted in the criminal justice system, is nearing the end of his sentence. This is not a life sentence, but rather I might be looking at it differently, but we have a sentence end date that looks pretty firm, July 10, 2019, which, as I stated at the beginning, is only a year away. So what I would open up for discussion to my colleagues is really something practical, and that is whether or not it serves all parties, beginning with Mr. Swoops, to allow for a supervised release that's allowing some transition to the community and some guidance and oversight from community corrections versus continuing his sentence through to July of 2019, or maybe possibly another program before then. But I will say, without being dismissive of victims or the seriousness of this violent crime, I'm not very open to a supervised transition because I believe it's practical and safe, and I think it serves the community. That's what we do, and we all may be looking at it differently. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Excuse me. I agree. I think that, you know, taken into consideration, but Mr. Swoops has done a total, it looks like, about 33 years in prison. He does have a sentence end date of July 10th of 2019. He has obtained some programs. I think he has a great release plan. He has great family support in him. He does have a source of income. He said over the last 2 years, according to the documentation of his release plan, that he's been working on being released. He's written letters. His daughter has checked with the VA to see what benefits he has. He will have a disability source of income that he has. He says that the majority of the time he's been incarcerated, he's worked in maintenance, and that he could come out and do some work in maintenance, as well as he's obtained a certificate in plumbing that he actually attended. I think that at this point in time, although Mr. Swoops has maintained his innocence, I think throughout this, according to the documentation that we have, but you know, we weren't part of the trial. We don't be tried, but we look at what's in the best interest of the community. And I don't see Mr. Swoops as being a threat to the community at this time. I think he's done to get out and be a productive citizen once he's released out. I would only say, which is very rare, I think that I'm supportive of Mr. Swoops being released on home arrest. However, I think that based on all the information that we have, based on the work that Mr. Swoops has already done in preparations for his release, based on our conversations and his attitude with him now, I definitely do not think he's a threat to society or community, but I think for 2 years he's been working on his release. I think because he only has since end date of July of 2019, I would also be more in favor of, and think it would be more beneficiary to the community, as well as Mr. Swoops, that he be released out on regular parole, so that he can follow through and get some of the things done that he's looking forward to getting done, and be an independent working person. Once he gets out of there, he's proven over the years that he will and would be a productive citizen once we release him, because he only has 1 year left on his parole. I think he would be a great suit to get a regular parole instead of off the rest. I am supportive of either one.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. At the very beginning of the hearing, when there was the discussion about his appeal and everything, when that came up, I anticipated an attitude throughout the hearing, and it wasn't there, not the negative attitude. Mr. Swoops was very articulate and presented all of his information without having, you know, that background attitude, well, I didn't do this or anything else like that. It's the process there is procedural, and they really didn't bring that into the hearing when we were talking about the information. But I think he's very articulate when you consider that he entered prison without even a high school diploma to become that articulate in that kind of environment is very impressive to me. But yes, he has good support, he's got a good attitude, and he's got some good things ahead of him, it appears. And I think at this point in time, it would not be beneficial to the community at all to have him serve out his term and then be released without any kind of transition, because that's setting him up for failure. And it's not in the best interest of the community. So I'm in favor of home arrest. 33 years incarcerated, I think the initial release needs to be pretty tightly controlled so we can make that transition without failing.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. And Honorable Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Gowanus. Distinguished week this morning. I think that we've had a wonderful hearing this morning. I think that Mr. Hoops has proved himself over the years. Of course, it was a little rough initially when he became incarcerated and under the circumstances that he became incarcerated. However, he's shown that he's mature. I think that, as you stated, I don't want to repeat what you said, Honorable Skowronis, I think that we cannot forget there were victims involved in the offense itself, and that's something that we can never forget. I think the question is whether, in my mind, whether it should be home arrest or general parole. I'm in favor of home arrest, and one reason I'm in favor of home arrest, after 33 years, I think there needs to be a period of adjustment. And during that period of adjustment, then the board will have an opportunity to make another decision in around 6 months from the end. I think it would be so that he can get adjusted to the outside world. It may sound easy, but based on what I've heard since being on this board, it's not easy. And that's a period when one must get adjusted when they've been in there for 30 plus years. And I know that he's going to be successful, but I think that he needs that period to work with a parole officer. He needs that period to really work with his family, although his family is very supportive, and we commend them, his daughter, his son, the rest of the family, and all of them were just so professional this morning as they came before this board, as well as his attorney. Therefore, as one board member, I would be in favor of granted home arrest at this time, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Board Chairman Dr. Wright. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see
where the boats land, and I will also ask for some guidance along the way on this one, just to make sure that we're clear on addresses and some of the guidelines that are set before us from the Department of Corrections. That motion, and this is not to dismiss the wisdom of Mr. Johnson, because I do hear a pretty good argument for regular parole, but I think I'm going to, just for the sake of maybe the safety and transition, my motion is to, for, pardon me, regarding Mr. Samuel Swoops, ADC number 04240, to grant home arrest and not regular parole or absolute discharge. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, agreed upon by Mr. Neal. And this is where I'll make sure that we get this correct in the paperwork. But the release type denied is, pardon me. The release type granted is home arrest. The conditions of release, and hold on, let me grab my microphone so I'm clear on this for Mr. Swoops, but the conditions of release under home arrest are to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. I want to be careful here because there's been some discussion about his status. I recognize that the charge today was sexual assault. He's got ongoing issues with the criminal justice system in terms of an appeal, but I'm just going to check and say all six offender conditions apply if they exist. Yes?
I just disagree with that because according to the attorney, you know, he had that sex class in there and he said that he wasn't the one who committed the sex act. That's why he wasn't, although he does have a sex charge, but I'm just kind of a little leery of saying all sex offender conditions apply, because then if we put that on there, that may prevent him from having any contact with any minor children or grandkids.
I think that would be only based on whether or not the conditions existed, but I don't want to confuse things here, so do we want to strike that?
I think that would be at the discretion of the Department of Corrections, not us.
Okay, so I'm just going to strike that, and then it'll be at the discretion of DOC, pardon me. Needs assessment and a referral for counseling, vocational, educational. I think that's appropriate. No alcohol use, and again, we're stating some things that are probably automatic to the conditions of release in the Department of Corrections. It's funny that I'm asking these questions because we do it so much, but do we automatically check our random tests for drugs or alcohol at the discretion of DOC?
I think that's automatic.
There's no U.S. Senate, there's no immigration detainer, no deportation issues. I think we check no operation of motor vehicle. I'm going to check must pay restitution, and that's only if it exists. Abide by institutional rules. Partake in available programming as directed. Again, that's at the discretion of DOC. Anything in the other category?
You have to give the address for the
Is that when, did we put the address in the other?
Yes, sir. We put it in the IN, but then it's left up to DOC to check it out. That would be the address. That's the VA, but we put one in there just for the record.
Is it okay to ask Ms. Weston for that information?
Yes.
Ms. Weston, if you'll come to the podium just for so that it's on the record, and if you'll state your name, please.
Grace Weston.
And Ms. Weston, could you provide an address for the sake of administrative requirements?
Sure. 2414 West R.A.M.
Second word, river. R-A-V-E-O, road.
I'm sorry, it's R-A-U?
R-A, route. River, road. And that's Tucson, Arizona, 85705. This is for administrative purposes?
Yes.
Okay.
Meaning that ultimately DOC will conduct an investigation as to whether there's an appropriate address for him to live in transition, but we're providing them an address to let them know that there's a place to go.
Okay. Now, will it be discussed before release whether the charges of sex offender will apply? Because in that case, he may not be able to live with me.
Yes, I think that's a good point, and we went ahead and removed checking that box, but that is something that is ultimately, I think, discussed with the Department of Corrections in his transition.
Okay.
The Department of Correction, and you also have an attorney who can work on that for you, but that will have to be decided by the Department of Corrections because they have certain regulations. We're not privy to make the decision.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor. And I believe $65 for 60 days.
Yes, sir.
Supervision fees of $65.
After
60 days?
Yes, sir.
And I don't believe there's anything else to add.
The only thing to add is that this will not become effective until July 10 of 2018.
Okay, I think that I have stated that on the way, but I think it's important to point that out for clarity.
Yeah, I think we'll put that on the record so that the Department of Corrections will know that that's, because they may not look at the Ames report. The parole eligibility is listed as July 10, 2018.
Yes.
Just around the corner, just for the record.
Mm-hmm. Should I stay here?
No. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I got caught up in the paperwork here. Not effective until parole eligibility, and I'll check one more time. July 10 of 2018.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I think that covers it, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Swoops, did you hear how the board voted and the conditions?
Yes, I heard. I appreciate that.
Again, the board was voted to grant home arrest and not regular parole and absolute discharge. You will appear again before this board in person in about 6 months to check on your progress. We stated your conditions of release or to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. To undergo a needs assessment referral. That's handled by DOC or parole. The alcohol use, random tests for drugs and alcohol. At least initially, may not operate a motor vehicle. Must pay restitution, and that is if restitution exists. Abide by institutional rules. Partake in the program as directed. We save an address. There's a supervision fee of $65 after 60 days. And again, we noted that your release will not be effective until your parole eligibility of July 10, 2018. Any further questions, Mr. Spooks?
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, and this is going to bring everything to a close. We're going to hang up our telephone call with our supporters, and we want to thank everyone for appearing before the board today.
Mr. Spooks, don't hang up. Please put the CO3 back on the end, sir.
Yes, I will.
Okay.